We've been studying one of the most profound statements in all of literature. Jesus' prayer. I remember saying it in primary school. We didn't go to church. We didn't believe in God. But I memorized it as a child. I didn't have a clue what it meant. Probably if I did understood what it meant, I wouldn't have believed what it meant. And like many of you, I have said it so many times in church, in meetings, in my own prayers, that it's easy to just gloss over it, just to say it. And so what we have wanted to do with this series is take time to slow down the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, one of those requests just doesn't seem to fit. Stop and think about it. The first three requests, the first three items that Jesus told us to talk about are God's name being glorified, God's kingdom coming, God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven. And then the last three focus on our desperate need. Lord, forgive us the debt that we have incurred by our sin. Lead us away from temptations, these things that ruin our life. Protect us from evil. So, three about God and three about our desperate need for God. And right in the middle, the very middle of this poem, which in Hebrew poetry, and this is a prayer poem, this sweet spot, we have this strange request. Lord, while we honor your name, and while we pray for your kingdom to come, and while we pray that your will be done, and while we pray that you forgive us our sins and lead us away from temptation and protect us from evil, right in the middle, give us this day this? Really? A loaf of bread? I mean, we're scraping the Milky Way. We're dancing in God's kingdom. We're in God's temple. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. Thy name be honored. Spare us. Protect us from ourselves. Give us this day our daily bread. Well, like every statement in this prayer poem, this statement, give us this day our daily bread, needs to be unpacked. You understand that we don't read poetry. We work poetry. Poetry says something on its face that introduces an idea that leads the reader or the hearer to meditate, to pause, to think. That's how we read the Psalms. We don't read the Psalms. We pray the Psalms. And so as we look at this, at each statement, which we have been doing, and open it up and say, what does it mean when we pray, your name be glorified, your hallowed be your name? And we discovered, as David has presented that message, that there's a whole lot more. There's a whole lot of depth and texture and richness and beauty in that statement. In the statement, your kingdom come, we heard last week that it means so much more than it presents on its face. So as you read, as you recite, as you think about this prayer poem, slow it down. Think about it. And that's what I would like to do together this morning as we explore this statement. Give us this day our daily bread. Because of all of the statements, this one could become the most mundane and almost meaningless, because We go to the grocery store and we buy a loaf of bread. What did Jesus intend us to understand when he said, when you pray this prayer, say, Lord, give us this day our daily bread? Well, first of all, he means literally, give us bread. And I don't know about you, but I sit down with my tuna sandwich and I don't think twice about the bread. But if I stop and think about it, I realize how dependent we are on God for that bread. And when I bow my head and say, Lord, thank you for this meal. I've done it so many times, it's like saying the Lord's Prayer. It's just something we do. It's something some Christians do to show off in the restaurant. But do we really stop and say, Lord, you have given us this bread? And I think about the fact that that is a corporate statement. Give us this day our daily bread. So as I bow my head and say, thank you for my tuna sandwich, do I stop and say, and Lord, be with those people who don't have a tuna sandwich? Give us all this day our daily bread. So on its face, at its most basic understanding, this statement is a powerful statement when we stop and think about it. But Daryl Johnson has written a book, 57 Words to Change the World. And it's about this Lord's Prayer, this 57-word prayer that is so profound. And he talks about this statement, give us this day our daily bread. And he said, as we read the church's reflection on this, we find five layers of meaning. And I like the word layers of meaning. He doesn't say five options that we have to choose one and reject the other. This is poetry. And these meanings have layer upon layer upon layer. And the first meaning is, the first layer is physical bread, food in general. And that's what we've talked about. Lord, give us enough to eat today. The second layer is everything necessary for functioning in the world. And he quotes Martin Luther there, who says this phrase, give us this day our daily bread, refers to everything necessary for the preservation of this life. The third layer, he said, is everything necessary for living the kingdom life. Bread, yes, but also wisdom, courage, strength, patience, holiness, and vision. Lord, give us what we need to be productive citizens of your kingdom as we live it out here on this earth and as we strive to do your will. The fourth layer is spiritual bread, the resources of the Holy Spirit enabling us to live in faith, hope, and love. The fifth layer of the meaning is Jesus himself. It means, Father, give us this day the bread of life. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. So you see, we have five, at least five sermons that we could preach based on give us this day our daily bread. Relax, I'm only going to preach one of them. And because it's the most distant, perhaps, to our thinking, I want to talk about the last of the fifth layer that Dr. Johnson tells us about. That what Jesus is talking about, what he includes in this request, give us this day our daily bread, is himself. And the reason I can say that so confidently is an incident that occurred in Jesus' life. John recorded it in John chapter 6. You remember the story. It's one of the most famous of Jesus' miracles. It's one of the very few miracles that's recorded in all four of the Gospels. Jesus had been preaching to a great crowd. It got late. And Jesus said to his disciples, these people are hungry. I am concerned about their physical needs. We need to feed them. The disciples said, it costs us half a year's pay to feed these people. What are you thinking about? And Jesus said, what have you got? They said, well, we got this kid. He's got a lunch. We've got five loaves of bread we've gathered around here. We've got a few fish. Jesus said, give it to me. They gave it to him. He blessed it. And they fed 5,000 men and their families. A miracle. An astounding miracle. Well, it tells us in Luke chapter 6, verse 14, after the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world. This is the Messiah. Wow! Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. And you say, wait a minute, didn't Jesus come to establish his kingdom? And now they're ready to make him king, and he retreated, he got away, he escaped. Why? The reason Jesus didn't allow them to make him king at that moment is that they had the wrong idea of what it meant for him to be the king. They misunderstood what his kingdom was all about. They wanted him to be King McDonald, McFish sandwiches. We got it once, this must be what it's all about. Well, during the night, Jesus and his disciples crossed the sea, and we find them now as we come to our text, John chapter 6, verse 25. It's the next morning. Verse 25, the next morning after the miracle. When the people found Jesus on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. You are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils. Do not eat stale bread, but work for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, what must we do to do the work God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So they asked him, what miraculous sign then will you give us that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Jesus was recalibrating their thinking about what he was all about. Yes, he was concerned about their physical needs, and he fed them. But Jesus was concerned not only that we won't remember that God is the one who supplies bread, but that we will only remember that God is the one who supplies bread. Jesus is not only concerned that we won't ask God to supply our needs, but that we will only ask God to supply our physical needs. That we'll become so preoccupied with God's role as our farmer and baker that we won't pursue him in his far more noble and important role as our Savior and our Shepherd. Kohelet said in Ecclesiastes 6:7, all a man's labor is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not satisfied. And Jesus said, I am concerned about your physical needs. In fact, the whole act of creation, and even after Adam and Eve sinned, God built into the process of life that the earth, by the sweat of our brow, the earth would produce food for us. God is aware of our needs, and God will meet those needs. But the danger is that we become so focused on those needs that we forget that God is far more than a provider of bread. And as we look at this passage that Jesus walked through, it's called the Bread of Life Discourse. We're only looking at a few of the verses. It goes from verse 25 to 71. And let me strongly... Oh, by the way, if you didn't bring your Bible, there's a Pew Bible. I think it's page 1657 in your Bible, in the Pew Bible. If you'd like to follow along as we look at this, I'll put the text up here for us. But read this. Read this whole Bread of Life Discourse. Read it over a few times in the coming week. And let God speak to you about what it means, this little statement in the middle of this profound prayer, give us this day our daily bread. Jesus is concerned that we not limit it to our next meal, that we understand this far more here. When they found Jesus on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? We saw you on the other side, and now we're here in the morning, and you're here. Jesus answered, I tell you, you're looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves. And Jesus said, in that feeding, in providing food for you, I was sending an incredible message. John uses the word sign. There are five different words that refer to miracles in the New Testament. John focuses on this word sign. Because it's a word, semion, that means it's the word that we would use if you were called into court and asked to give evidence. See, and John said, the purpose of my gospel is to prove to you, to give you sufficient evidence that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And he gave seven signs, seven miracles to convince the people that he was, in fact, who he claimed to be. And so Jesus said, I gave you a sign. I've given you signs. But instead of seeing the sign in the bread, all you could focus on was the bread in the sign. You have reduced me to your corner grocery store. And that is a tragedy because I have so much more to give you than a loaf of bread. And my fear is that you'll miss that. That you'll miss that. You will not see. You're looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. And then he gave them this advice, verse 27, do not work for food that spoils, but work for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Yes, he gives you bread, but he gives you so much more. On the Son of God, the Father has placed his seal of approval. I am the real deal. I have come to give you so much more. And the fact that I am legitimate is verified by the Father's seal upon me. Well, they asked him, what must we do to get this work? You know, hey, we really liked that yesterday. So how do we get that bread? That, you know, they're still thinking bread. What must we do to do the work God requires to get this bread? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his mercy he saved us. We can't earn our place with God. We must receive it as his gift. The work of God is that we believe. And this isn't a one-time event where I come and I heard the message of Jesus and I accepted Christ as my Savior and now I'm on my own. No. No, this is a written in a way that says it's a continual life of belief. That as you go through your life, you see that you are a child of God, that you are related to Jesus Christ, that He is your Savior, that He is your Lord. He who continues to believe in the one He has sent, this is God's work. And you cannot fully appreciate what God is providing for you if you do not live this life of believing in Him, of processing life, and saying, I am not alone on this earth. We are not alone in this universe. There is a living God. A living God who loves us. A living God who sent bread down from heaven, His own Son, to give us a life we could never imagine possible and is not possible apart from processing life with Him. The work of God is this, to believe in the one He has sent. So they asked Him, what sign will you give us? You know, hey, I just gave you a sign yesterday. But they said, no, give us more. What sign will you give us so that we may see it and believe? What will you do? Prove it. Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Can you match Moses? Can you do what Moses did? Can we, if we do this belief thing, if we work the work of God and do this belief thing, will we get bread tomorrow? Now, I'm not particularly fond of weeding my garden. It gets hot out there. I kind of like that manna thing. Can you do that? So they're still processing life. They're still processing Jesus as somebody who's going to provide them bread. Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. Moses didn't produce that bread. My Father gave you that bread from heaven. But the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Notice something here. Bread from heaven, the true bread from heaven, the bread that comes down from heaven. In this discourse, Jesus mentioned 6 times that He is the bread that comes down from heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Yes, Lord, thank You for supplying our daily bread. We acknowledge to You that we are totally dependent on You for life itself. Thank You. We live in gratitude, but we also recognize that You sent Your Savior to the earth to give us so much more than the kind of life that bread supplies. He gives us eternal life. The bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. This word that's translated life refers to the condition of living or the state of being alive, and listen to this, especially healthiness, happiness, exuberance, energy, vitality, and the like. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life. I mean really live. Have it abundantly. I'm so much more than bread. I'm so much more than staying alive physically. I'm all about a whole new life, a whole new way of thinking about life, a whole new way of processing life. I am the bread of a new kind of life. That's what I'm about. That's what I came for. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. Actually, they're still thinking about physical bread, as we see in verse 36. They still didn't believe Him. Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Does that idea of never being thirsty take your mind back a couple of chapters? To John chapter 4, when Jesus was talking with a Samaritan woman at the well, and He asked her for water, and she said, why should I give water to you? You're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan. We have nothing to do with each other. And Jesus said, if you knew who was talking to you, you'd be asking me for water. Everyone who drinks this water from this well will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And she said, Sir, give me this water. Just like the people in John chapter 6 said, Sir, give us this bread. Give us this day our daily bread. This bread. Yes, bread to eat. But yes, bread to nourish our souls. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. You look like a nice Christian group, most of you. How many of you ate breakfast this morning? How many of you, Floyd, you didn't eat breakfast? How many of you will eat lunch after the service? How many of you are now thinking about lunch? Yeah, another rookie mistake, you know. Why? I used to teach this in the classroom, and there were always students sitting on the front row with their water bottles. And I'd pick up a water bottle and say, whose is this? I said, mine. What do you have this for? Oh, I'm thirsty. Thinking about a dry lecture? You need to bring water? And I said, how can you be thirsty? Aren't you a Christian? Yeah. Well, didn't you read this verse? Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. You understand what a profound statement Jesus made right there? He's saying, I came to satisfy the deepest, most basic appetites of your life, which God Himself created in you. When we are hungry and when we're starving, And desperately thirsty, we will risk our lives. We will throw safety. We will throw esteem. We'll throw all these other higher order needs aside to get food, to get something to drink. And Jesus said, there is a hunger in you that's deeper than food or drink can satisfy. Only I can feed your deepest longings. And what happens to so many of us, which leads us, by the way, to temptation and to sin and to evil, is that we find substitutes to try to satisfy this longing, this appetite that only Jesus can satisfy. For some, it's alcohol or drugs. For some, it's sex. For some, it's shopping. For some, it's eating. When I feel a bit depressed, I'm not feeling a bit at odds, give me a package of Oreos, a jar of chunky peanut butter, and a big glass of milk, and I will eat the whole thing. Because sometimes I am really stupid. Instead of saying, what is this longing? What is this thing that's going on inside of me? And Jesus said, the quick way to distort your life and to need the next three parts of this Lord's Prayer, forgive us our sins, lead us not into temptation, protect us from evil, is to try to live life apart from having your deepest longings satisfied by the only substance that will satisfy it. And that is the bread from heaven. We satisfy that hunger by spending time in God's Word, by spending time in prayer, by meditation, by coming to know Him. He says, whoever comes to me will never go hungry. and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Yes, we must believe, but we also must come to him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Abide in me as I abide in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain or abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Yes, Jesus taught us to pray for our next meal and to be gracious and thankful for it. But he said, please, please, don't limit me to the one who supplies physical bread. When I was a young teenager, we used to play a game called What Do You Do for a Penny? So whoever had the penny could dare somebody to do something. And we did some pretty brave and adventurous, stupid stuff. When you're 13 years old, brave, adventurous, stupid, kind of. And then we'd get the penny. We did things that none of us would have done to get a hunk of copper that wouldn't even buy a piece of bubble gum. It wasn't the piece of copper. It was the ability to say, I did something that nobody else would probably do in their right mind. And I got the power now. I have the penny and I can challenge someone else. So it wasn't just the penny. It was what the penny represented. And when you pray the prayer, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Yes, think of the bread. Think of the loaf. But don't limit it there. Think of what the loaf represents. Build a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Give us this day this bread.